thoughts and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to the August 24th edition of Man Up with Carl Bott and Perry Crimmins.
Soon to be Ted Lottie, we hope.
We don't know. I mean, you know, I just had lunch with him, what, day before yesterday? Yeah, man, you know, blah, blah. And, hey, Ted, if you're listening, Perry brought you some stuff.
Yeah.
And if you're not here, I'm taking one of them. So,
he told me to bring some stuff, so here I am.
Yeah, there you go. So, good evening, everybody. The thing is, when you line up guests, and not Ted, but other guests.
Scooter boy just arrived.
Yeah, 3 weeks in advance, sometimes they don't remember, and I probably should have called them. But, so, Ted just arrived on, he has an electric scooter. So here he comes in singing while we're talking with his helmet on. It looks very spiffy.
Looks, and he has a backpack on. He looks like a
little backpack.
He looks like a student.
He is a student of what, though?
Yeah,
I'm a lifelong learner.
Anyway, good evening, everybody. We're going to be talking about a couple of things. I was hoping RC would make it today, because he was just at the cigar convention in Vegas where all the cigar makers come in, and he had he gave me a stick that's just excelente. But then Perry brought in tonight a bourbon from, well, I'll let him tell you about it, but good evening, Ted.
Good evening, everybody. How are you?
And Perry, even though we said hello, we can start it over again.
What's happening?
Well, I forgot to mention, everybody, that you have your electric scooter.
I know, yeah.
And you ride it. It must be, what, 5-6 miles at least a year?
Decreasing my carbon footprint.
Are you, though?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, right. I know I'm going to hear the Chinese lithium battery story,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. That's right. I mean, what you did was you just took off 10 square miles of Earth's surface dug by slave labor and child labor so you could ride your little scooter into town here.
Yeah, yeah. I lived 18 years of that child labor stuff at my homes, and I made it, so whatever. Whatever. I'm out. I'm free.
Hey. I was 12 years old. I was driving a team of mules in North Carolina in
That's
the back of fields.
I do not want to make light of it, but at the end of the day, I like my scooter.
That's okay.
I like zipping around. Yeah, I can cover like 6 miles in probably 15 minutes.
Well, you know, it's one of the things of Man Up is that we do things in here that you wouldn't ordinarily think.
Absolutely.
And so a scooter is part of being
a
man.
Part of being an adult. This is a part of being a man.
That's right. That's your sunscreen on. Get out there in the wind. Cheat death by, getting in traffic in Redding, California with the best drivers on the planet. Just go ahead and cheat death. That's what I do every time I come down here.
Yeah, well, you're wise enough.
I cheated death today.
Yeah. You wore a helmet, though, so you're a step ahead of
the
most.
The other day he came down here without
a helmet. It's
a
Barbie helmet. It's a Barbie helmet.
Yeah, I know it is.
I don't care.
Get you a pink one.
I feel good about it.
You could be part of this Barbie movement.
Hey, you know what? You know, I love that meme where it has that little Tabasco, that dude putting the Tabasco in his eye, and it says, this is what I'd rather do than go see the Barbie movie.
Yeah.
Have you seen that?
Yeah, I have.
That cracks me up right there.
I've heard all sorts of different stories from both sides of Barbie, though, but I just have to think it's still not right.
They called it Barbieheimer. Remember?
Barbieheimer.
Oppenheimer. Oppenheimer came out the same week. And so people were going to go, were seeing Barbie and leaving Barbie and going over and see Oppenheimer. The story of the nuclear,
The middle of it or after?
No. After it was over, then they would just trot on over to the next theater and see that. And I can't help but think that there's some serious differences between these movies.
Yeah. Well, I dig this conversation, but it's making me kind of sad because do you realize I do not remember the last time I went to see a movie? Hmm. Are we old? What about you, Perry? When's the last movie?
Movie I saw was what's the new one with Jim Caviezel? The
Sound of Freedom.
Sound of Freedom, and I'm telling you, it was a good
movie.
That
was the last movie I went to.
Never saw it.
Saw it. It's still playing. It is still down there.
I have FOMO, fear of missing out.
I want to see it.
Yeah, everybody says it's really, really good. Well, of course, you know,
it's been hyped. I mean, it really is based on a true story, and I think the first part where they take down this pedophile, and then his partner says to him, you know, or he says, "How many of you arrested?" That's my 288. He goes,
arrested.
How many pedophiles is that? Have you arrested 288? And he says, "How many kids you saved?" Zero. And that's what kind of kicked this thing off. And yes, it's a movie, okay, but he went after these two kids and found them. But it's the statistics and the things about, the United States is the second largest consumer.
Or even the largest, isn't it?
Of child trafficking.
It might even be the largest.
No, I think there's another one someplace else, but it's billions and billions of dollars. And it's growing every year. And one of the reasons is that damn border.
Well,
that
of border, course,
and then all these kids
is
that come over.
Defined as child trafficking, right? When they come across the border? I mean, is that child trafficking? Is that not what we're talking about?
Yeah, well, they're coming. Well, you know, a lot of them are just sent across the border, and then they're sent someplace with a, quote, relative. But are they checking that? Are they doing DNA checks? What kind of proof? Now, they could be having a lot of proof of it, but the point is that they're bringing – we know that they're bringing drugs across the border. We know terrorists have come across the border because we caught some of them. You know all that's happening.
Yeah. So we're getting just a snapshot of it.
Oh, we're
crossings,
just getting,
you know.
It's like when they catch a truck and it's got 400 pounds of fentanyl in it, enough to kill half of the United States, everybody west of the Mississippi – and, you know, how many more? That's just the cost of doing business.
Well,
yeah,
because think about it.
How many people have gotten across?
If we got all of them, they would quit doing it. Obviously, they're not stopping it.
No.
So they must have, what, 5, 10, 15, 20 trucks get across every one that gets caught?
How about these people downtown here in Seattle and, small town America? They're using fentanyl. That's why it keeps coming across the border.
Do you know why we sit here and complain? Do you know why? Because it's so damned easy to fix. It's irritating to us that we could fix that. We could fix it tomorrow. If we wanted to, if we had the political spine, we could fix it. Just like we could fix gun violence.
Well, you know.
We could fix it tomorrow.
Yeah.
At 9 a.m., we could fix it tomorrow. But we just choose not to. I don't know why. I guess because...
Lack of political will.
Just lack of political will.
Well, fixed it, you wouldn't have a job anymore as a politician.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
You still have politicians, but to level, people are always talking about leveling it, you know, equity. Well, there's a difference between equality and equity, and that's what we're getting into. But if they're so afraid of polls, and a lot of these migrants come across the border, they are taking those hard jobs. They are the ones cutting the heads off 5,000 chickens a day. I mean, they just are. And
well, actually, they're not. We actually sell a wheel to a company that uses it to cut the chicken heads off.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm just
what?
I'm just saying.
They line them up on a conveyor, and just the wheel spins.
Yeah.
And
as they come through, because they're in a, they've got their head, and they put them in a, they put them in like in a, you know, a
they put their heads in
a conveyor, a conveyor belt, and they put their heads in it, and just as they come down, as they are fed into it, and it comes down, the first thing that happens is their head goes off.
That is.
Then they drop down, then they start the defeathering.
Yeah. They don't send any of those wheels back, though, because they're probably pretty messed up.
Yeah. Anyway. When one breaks, you probably just toss it and order a new one, huh? Yeah.
They don't want to.
But the bottom line is there are. But then, as pointed out when we had this, we had an interview with Sergio Garcia this week.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be speaking, Saturday at the Martin Luther King Center. He was the first undocumented that was admitted into the law boards, passed his law boards, mm-hmm. admitted into the bar in California. Well, he was the first one in the United States.
Wow.
And when you hear his story and you think, oh, gosh, you know, he's brought over here when he was 17 months old. And his father took them all back to Mexico when he was 10. He didn't speak Spanish. And so he was there for a while. Then they kept going, coming back and going over, and it took him literally 25 years, 15 years just to get the card, another 10 to become a citizen.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. And you know who fought him? The Obama Department of Justice. Then he wanted to get, Obama wanted a photo with him. He said, "Good, I want to talk to him about some ideas I have and about helping people." "Oh, no, you don't talk to him. This is just a photo op." So he turned him down.
Good for him. You know,
he's an interesting guy. He was on, I think, Tuesday Morning Day. And, I mean, and he thinks the border should be shut down.
Well, you would have to be a complete simpleton to stand there and tell me the border should be open. Yeah. I mean,
people
would have to be a simpleton to think that. I'm calling you a simpleton. Yeah. Call me. Argue with me online.
200,000 last
night. 605-4567. Call me.
A city twice the size of Reading came across the border and just disappeared.
You are a simpleton if you think that's okay.
Yeah.
And the drugs, the terrorists, all of it. Now, I know some of that is narrative, but it's inevitable that some of it's true.
And it's not necessarily.
The drugs are simple. The drugs are true.
And it's not the issue of immigration. It's the issue of illegal immigration.
It's not the immigration I
care about. Well, but here's the thing is the immigration system is broken. I've been saying that for years. You've been saying it for years. Barry, you've been saying it for years. We've had the Democrats in there with both houses of the Congress and the president. You've had Republicans in there with both houses and the president. And yet nothing's been done on this.
Yeah, what have they done for you?
Well, I'm here to tell you. The reason why we do not have an immigration system that works is the same reason why we don't have a gun violence system that works. Because when there's nothing to talk about, who's going to vote for who?
Exactly.
They got to stand on what they've done for their constituency. They don't have to, they get to stand on those issues and act like they're on one side or the other to get votes. If there's no issue, they have nowhere to stand. Think about it.
Yeah.
Well, and
what other reason
and
is
some
there?
Of them don't want to stand on it. Yeah. And when you call for that vote, they're, absent.
You mean a gun violence? Well, wait a minute. We already have laws for that. What am I talking about?
You do have.
They're just not enforced.
They're not enforced.
For the same reason, but at the state level.
Okay. Before we take a break, did you see that? I don't know if we talked about it last time. Did you see where the two employees in that store in Costa
Mesa.
Is
this beginning of a bad joke?
No. Okay. Yeah. There was a...
Make sure.
There was an Irishman. There was a Marine.
We're on the aircraft.
This guy came in and threatened to rob him, and he's going to kill him and all this. And it's like the third time he'd been in that week. This time he's got one of those big rolling garbage cans. He's dumping all the cigarettes and all this in there. And finally, this one of the employees runs over and grabs him. And he put his hand. He had something in his pocket. And he showed, And he's pulling to the ground. The other guy runs over there with a broomstick and just starts wailing on this guy, not in his head, but on his legs, his back, his hips. The other guy's holding him down. Whack! I mean, 25, 26 times. So the guy staggers out. The police get him. But the headlines were saying employees being investigated. And
for abuse of a criminal.
Oh, I tell you what, but the brouhaha that raised, and the police department had come out the next day. They are not being investigated. We're investigating the other guy, So
I thought that was in New Jersey.
No, this was in California. It was.
You said Costa Rica.
No, I said Costa Mesa.
Got it. Yeah.
No,
that
this,
makes sense.
This was someplace Riverside. I don't know, one of those places.
Good.
Okay, we got to take a break.
Right on.
Liam works for hours to make sure all of our breaks are perfect in here.
Thank you, Liam.
And they go off at a certain time, and I just blow right by him. And sometimes I look at him and go, "Hey, we're skipping this break."
And then
he puts his head on his desk, and I see a little tear in his eye.
But we need a breath for a sip.
Yep,
we do. Okay. We'll be right back.
Hey friends, please join us at Reading Civic Auditorium for the first annual Justice Crab Feed October 21st to raise money in the fight against human trafficking in Reading and abroad.
All proceeds go directly to Hard Places Community and Justice 180, both nonprofit organizations. Tickets are available at $75 each, or you can get a table sponsorship as well. For more information, go to justicecrabfeed@gmail.com or find us on Instagram at justicecrabfeed.
American Ironworks, specializing in custom fabrication from designer gates, decorative railings, handmade furnishings to giant works of art. With over 20 years of experience in Northern California, American Ironworks provides the highest quality of craftsmanship for your home or commercial space. American Ironworks also offers hand-sketched and 3D graphic designs to help bring your concept to reality. Visit our website and social media at American Ironworks or call 530-949-0710, 530-949-0710.
Yeah! Hit it, buddy. Welcome back to Man Up with Barry Crimmins and Kid Lighty and Carl Bach. I got an announcement to make about Liam in a few minutes, but tell us about the
haircut?
Bourbon.
Yes,
yeah, yeah,
so the bourbon is called Vat Proof Master Collection Woodford Reserve. Batch 124.7, and yes, it's pretty darn good.
You can you can taste it all the way down. Ooh. as it goes through your esophagus into your
it makes a hole in your stomach.
You might be able
out.
To feel it go all the way in your colon. Who knows?
Yeah. It's a warm through, that's for sure.
We may have to tell Dr. Nuke about that before we go for our next visit.
Do you mind if I bring up what you told me tonight?
Yeah,
is that okay?
Yeah, go out, go for it.
Liam's applying for the Fire Academy.
What?
Nice.
Yeah. Right on.
And he said, if that doesn't work out, he's applying for the astronaut program.
Oh, right on. That's good, too.
This is the first time hearing about that.
You know, I like to find jobs for him. You know,
I wanted to be an astronaut when I was growing up.
We realize that this is a spot where people come in, they do a great job, but, you know, there's some, like one of our producers is going to school now, but she's still here. And but when you go to Fire Academy, I mean, that's like full time.
Mm-hmm.
You better start.
I'll still be here.
How long is it?
It's like a 6-month program.
Yeah,
it's awesome. I mean, so it costs about $6,000, like for equipment and instructional fees and whatever. But once you get out, you're qualified to work for Cal Fire.
Shasta College.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's a fantastic.
100% of their graduates found a job.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. The academy here at Shasta College is probably one of the best in the nation. The best equipment, all of this. But I tell you what, you got the endurance because you're a runner and a biker. But
I need to put on some more muscle.
You need to build up.
You got your whole life to do that. Don't worry about that.
Well, you need to build up your upper body strength because you're carrying these.
No,
you're carrying like 60 pounds of hoses up like 4 flights of stairs.
I'm going to go run into the big room and grab the paperwork where it talks about. Here, I'll be back in a sec.
Go get it. Then you can do a fireman's carry with me, see if you can do 200 pounds.
Yeah, you know what? Try and get him up.
Come on, man. Let's see if you can haul me out of a burning building.
A 6'3" fireman carry.
Yeah, yeah.
When I was taking my...
that'd be awesome.
When I was getting my PADI diving instructor license to do that, we had to do all these things rescuing people, and one of them, we had to get somebody out of the water, right?
Oh.
So I got... up with somebody your size, right? But you're in the water and trying to get this guy up on a cement ledge.
While you're swimming?
Well, yeah, you bring him in and then you're giving him mouth to mouth and all this and then you have to get him out of the water, right? Well, he wasn't helping. You know,
after you had to wrestle him in there first place.
Yeah, you know, and so you bring him in and get him up to the concrete little pier there, but I had to get him up like 2 feet up in the air and over on it. He wasn't helping. I reached down to get a different grip, and I grabbed his crotch. Whoops. And we had wetsuits on, but I grabbed it. And you'd be surprised how he levitated out of the water on that.
Yeah.
Anyway,
did you enjoy your Patty instruction time?
Yeah, I had.
Was it fun?
It was fun, but just like you with the with NFI. We had these standards, Patty standards, and your insurance was as good as you followed their standards.
Yep.
And the problem was last shop I taught with, they wanted you to skip steps so they could move more people through. I said, I'm not going to do that. And I said, I'm not going to cut out a step because if somebody down there panics and blows his lungs out on the way to the surface because you can't, you know, because you couldn't get to him fast enough, which wasn't really a problem, but because you couldn't hold him down, and they held their breath all the way up and get an air embolism, and you had not followed every one of those instructions, then that lawsuit came to you.
I'll never forget my time in dive school.
In the water?
my instructor was a 7th Special Forces Group dive master, right? And says I was at Fort Bragg. And I don't know whether I'm the only one that signed up or what, but it was just him and I for all these classes. And, you know, he had all day to mess with me, and he did. But we did all of our testing at night in a quarry at Fort Bragg with a flashlight.
In the water.
In the water, yeah. And that was his deal. That's the only time I went to that quarry. I stand corrected. We went in at dusk, and I did my basic. And then, of course, we had to wait for it to get dark to do my advanced. And I had done the ground school. I had done the classroom for both of them. And that dude was hard. I mean, he was tough. But I'm sure he was sticking to the book because that's how he acted. He didn't half-step at all. I dug that class. And I felt good about my abilities when I was done. Because when you half-step, people know you half-step.
Well, the thing, just like anything you're teaching.
Like anything.
But you want to be able to make sure you teach a safe class where when you're telling students to take off their – what I would do is I'd run a dummy line across the bottom. Yeah. And everybody be on their knees hanging on that dummy line.
Sure.
So I could watch them. And then I had dive masters around like you have assistant instructors. And then when they take off, I have them, you know, I give them the signal, take off your mask, and they have to take the mask off, put it back on, and then clear their mask.
I can still do that.
Well, yeah, of course you can.
It's been a long time, but I can still do
that. Then we had to do the emergency ascent. Mm-hmm. And so we'd be on the bottom of another line that went to the surface. And I'd wrap my leg around that line. I'd grab that student by his BC, his buoyancy compensator, and I'd be looking at him. And I, you know, they knew from the classes, and then I'd go, you blow out on the way up so you can.
Right.
And I have a hold of them. And if they start going up and they weren't
blowing out
enough, I'd clamp on that and stop them.
You clamp onto the dummy line?
Onto the surface buoy on that line. I could stop them. And then we'd get it like 5 feet from the surface, and they're not breathing anymore because they think they've blown all that air out of them. I'd punch them up underneath their BC. Yeah, punch them, and this big burst of air would come out. They thought they had emptied their lungs, but no.
They did not.
You got more in there, buddy.
That's so ridiculous.
Oh, no, but it was great.
Sucked the tank dry off Andros Island in the Bahamas on a shark dive one day. It was so cool.
Yeah,
I looked at my buddy because we were doing it together. And, you know, I said, he looked at me like, you know, doing the thing.
Yeah, like I'm out?
I'm out. Yeah. He looked at me like, I said,
there's always an air hog.
I reached over.
Air hog.
I reached over to grab his spare, and he backed up like, what are you talking about? And what are you doing? I said, I need that right there. Yeah, I had to buddy breathe all the way up because it was so exciting. I mean, I had all these sharks around me all the time.
Yeah, and there's some people just, they breathe really deeper bad. And all that. So when you're making an insert, we were making inserts with scuba.
I was all excited.
And you know, you're coming in and you've got like a 500-yard at night scuba insert, and you're on the Budweiser line, everybody's on it. You know at about 200 yards, somebody's going to run out of air. Yeah. So then everybody comes to the surface, you just stay on the surface and you kick in. But
yeah, the big dude like breathing like Darth Vader, like me.
You probably just have a big heart and little lungs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
True, yeah. Yeah, it was fun. Had a great time.
Trump's booking photo is in the news.
And it is the bomb. I'm getting a shirt with one.
I tell you what, but his height? Okay. How tall do you think he is and how much does he weigh?
He's 6'4". He weighs 235.
Perry?
I'd say he's 6'2", 6'3", and about 225 to 230.
Yep. Well, he's 6'3", 215.
Whoa.
Yeah. He must
dude is pretty hard.
Well, the reason he was trying to extend that, to turn himself in, he wanted to really shed down on some. But 215 and.
That's good.
Yeah, I mean.
That's a lean individual.
I bet
he's. You know, he's had to have been up to 250 or 260.
Oh, easy.
Times.
Yeah. Easy.
Well, he's been.
Really?
He hasn't had time to make it home. He's been indicted so much, he probably doesn't have a chance to go out to fancy feed.
97 indictments.
Yeah, he hasn't had a chance to eat.
We're waiting on the mattress tag indictment pretty soon.
Well, it's going to be Arizona is now making noises. Hey, we want to get in on this.
Yeah, really, yeah.
Well, it's, you know, the land of, the rule of land warfare, right? So now it's the rule of just, what is it, it's not warfare. It's lawfare.
Lawfare.
Yeah, they're taking away the people's chance to vote for this guy.
Yep.
By putting enough of these indictments on them and hoping one sticks.
Well, sure.
That's the whole thing. They're looking for one to stick.
Every single instance is a Democratic prosecutor with political ambition. But you know what? Just like I teach my CCW students, you may run across a prosecutor with political ambitions, so you had better keep it straight.
Yeah.
Because even though you think you're right, it doesn't matter if you're right or wrong. Just like these prosecutors, they don't care whether they get an indictment or not. They don't care if they get a conviction or not.
They
are putting their
name
in the news. And they're putting their name in the top of the list with all of these other Democrats that are trying to get to, you know, to the Senate or wherever they're trying to get. So, yeah. All right. Well, Liam flashed the light. Does that mean it's time?
It's time.
That means it's time to drink. It's like a drinking game almost.
It's time to take a quick break here. And Liam, when we come back, do you have your list of requirements?
Yeah.
Okay. If you want to be a firefighter, we'll be right back.
This is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Hi, this is Cindy at Lauk's Landscape Supply, located at the intersection of Dersch, Turn Creek, and Airport Road. We are your one-stop shop for everything in your yard. We have all the small rental equipment like the stand-on mini skid steers to get you through those walk-through gates, or Beretta trenchers on tracks are quick and easy to operate, and the popular vibroplates for compaction of pathways or prepping for under artificial turf. Make your job easy with the powered wheelbarrow on tracks. And of course, we have all the products to make your yard the envy of the neighborhood, including all the soils, sands, gravels, sod, pavers, retaining wall blocks, and multiple size trucks to deliver with no minimum, making your delivery the most cost-effective way to get your job done. So whatever your project, big or small, come check out Lauk's Landscape Supply at the intersection of Dersch, Churn Creek, and Airport Road. Find us on the web at laukslandscapesupply.com or give us a call at 530-378-2220. Lauk's Landscape Supply, where we take pride in your project.
Okay, welcome back to Man Up Here with Carl Bott, Ted Leidy, and Perry Grimmins. And rest of it, we want some country. I want to have north of Richmond, but not all the words. But there's parts of it that those words aren't in there. But north
or
of Richmond.
Bocephus.
Or what?
North of Richmond or Bocephus. Not Dan and Shay. You know who that is?
Yeah.
Oh, the two guys rappers?
No, they're country guys.
They're country guys.
Oh, there's these two rappers that, I mean, they are just...
Are they country or just whatever?
These guys could be the signpost for the militia. And they sing things, and they've got the flag, they got jets flying over, and it's about, hey, you know what, if you don't start looking out for us, you better start looking out for us.
Nice.
You know,
what about Vivek Ramaswamy? Is he that guy?
He's...
Okay,
I like
before
him.
We start, Liam, what are the physical requirements?
These are the physical requirements so that you can... get into the program, and you have to do this all within 8 minutes and 30 seconds.
Okay, we're ready.
Hose line drag, rolling out two dry 50-foot rolls of 2.5-inch fire hose, coupling them together and dragging them 65 feet.
Okay.
Lifting a 65-pound non-NFPA 24-foot extension ladder off a rack, placing it on the ground, and then picking it up and returning it to the rack. It gets harder. Fully extending a 35-foot ladder using the halyard, lowering it using a controlled non-slipping hold. Attic crawl. And you're all in uniform. for this too, tank, right? Picking up a charged water hose, 1.5 inches, and crawling through an attic like 24 feet with it. Picking up a 50-foot, 45-pound section of 2.5-inch hose, climbing up 2 flights of stairs, placing the hose down on the upper floor, grabbing a rope on the third-floor deck, which is attached to a 50-foot section of rolled banded 2.5-inch double-jacket fire hose, which is 45 pounds, and lifting the hose to the top of the third-floor parapet and lowering it in a controlled motion. Lifting 175-pound dummy rag or dummy and dragging it 50 feet, and then picking up 5 individually bundled 50-foot sections of 2.5-inch hose, 45 pounds each, 1 or 2 at a time, and placing them on a raised bench approximately 24 feet or 24 inches high. Once all 5 rolls are on the bench, returning them to the original position.
Now, is this to graduate or is this just to get in?
This to get in.
How do you even know that stuff?
Yeah, how do you know it?
Yeah. There's an orientation.
Wow. Well, it doesn't sound like enough of to the
all mean, within 8 minutes and 30 seconds.
It would take me like 2 weeks just to learn how to do all this.
How do you pick this ladder up?
Yeah.
No kidding.
Wow, that's awesome. So how long is your orientation?
Orientation is November 6th and 7th.
And so 2 days.
It's 2 days and then they test you then?
It's 2 days and then the class doesn't start until January.
And then so they teach you then and you've got till January.
I'm not sure.
Can you go down to the fire hall there or the school to practice?
And work?
Because you don't have this stuff in your backyard.
I don't have that answer. I should look into it.
Well, because Liam, if you only have 2 months to get it right, or 3 months.
Liam, the first thing you ought to start doing is 100 push-ups a day, every day.
That's true.
That's a good start.
My cardiovascular system is built. Not necessarily my...
It's going to have to be your upper body.
My muscular...
That's why you need to do the push-ups.
You know, it's true.
And the sit-ups the Marine for your
Corps.
Core.
Yeah, the Marine Corps PFT used to be pull-ups, sit-ups, and then it went to crunches and a 3-mile run. And if you matched each one, you could get 300 points, 100 for the pull-ups, 100 for the crunches, 100 for the run. But you made more points in your upper body. And if you could do your 20, you got 5 points for every pull-up. So what you do is your upper body strength and then your crunches, you walk out into the run with 200 points. And if you can run moderately well, you're going to be scoring high first class. So, and there's exceptional people that could do all of them.
Do you know that here's the deal. So ours was push-up, sit-ups, and 2-mile run. Did you ever think it was odd that just naturally speaking, folks were better at, like, could do sit-ups but couldn't do push-ups or could do push-ups and could do sit-ups?
Nobody could do both
unless you really worked at it.
Well,
that was interesting to me.
Well, remember when we were in school, PE, you had the President's Physical Fitness
Awards. Oh, I remember that. Yeah, I wanted that.
What happened to that? I mean, we competed with that every year in school.
Carl, you remember that?
Boy, that hurts.
did you do a sit up?
No. I took another drink of the stuff you brought.
I saw drinking at Woodford, man. I'm like,
that hurts. That hurts. You guys are your second one. I'm barely able to choke down the first
one. Just like 20 sit ups.
No, I remember those, but we used to have PE.
I used to love it.
And I went to a jump school when I was 38, 34.
I remember when the five Marines showed up in jump school.
Well,
I remember that.
Let me tell you what was happening there. I mean, it was...
Boy, those black hats were hard on those Marines.
They
were hard on the Marines.
Especially if we were wearing cami and y'all weren't yet. Mm-hmm. So we'd show up with our camouflage uniforms and they'd call us cami legs. Mm-hmm. Cami legs!
Because we were still wearing OG-107.
Which means you had to do 10 push-ups, jump up, and do it in each compass point. But it was... there was no pull-ups. There were the push-ups, the sit-ups, and then your 2-mile run. Well, Marines were going down there and not making it through the initial inventory PFT. Hmm. And we're trying to figure it out. So they found out what was happening is the Marines would go out there and be cranking out in that 2 minutes about 80, 90 push-ups, but they weren't correct airborne push-ups.
Right.
Your torso has to break the plane of your elbow, go down, and then go straight back up.
All the way up.
And so it was so bad they had a Marine from the contingent there at
Benning.
Benning.
Fort Benning.
would be standing there mm-hmm. watching. And so I was second in line that day when my Marines was there. I mean, he's like built like the miniature Hulk. And he starts doing push-ups, and Black Hat goes, one, two, doesn't count, doesn't count, doesn't count. When he hit the third, doesn't count, he said, stop. He says, get to the end of the line. And then I went, and I was next. And I tell you what, my first 20 push-ups were just, I mean, textbook perfect. And I could start, he was counting them all, so I just could do it like that. The biggest surprise was at the end of it, and you know how it is. Everybody's, you know, the first couple of days, everybody's in your platoons and all that, and they started calling out numbers because we all had numbers on our helmets. And we must have had 50, 60 out of our groups there hadn't passed that inventory PFT. Yeah. I mean, officers, staff and COs, guys stationed at Benning.
And it was from poor form, huh?
They couldn't make the run. It was something. I don't know what it was, but oh yeah, it was a scandal going on because we'd have Marines going down with 300 PFTs, perfect PFTs, couldn't pass.
Well, so the truth is probably right in the middle. The truth is those are Army guys, a little harder than the Marines. That makes sense. Then the truth is the Marines that were giving you your PFT back on the base, they were probably a little easier on the Marines.
Well,
right? So it's right in the middle.
I don't know about that, but what it is it's just, it was all technique. All technique.
And sure it was.
You can't fault the Army for saying this is a technique thing. It's not a strength thing. Anyway, it was probably three of the happiest weeks of my life, jump school. I mean, I didn't have to. Well, I was a platoon commander, but I didn't really have to worry about anybody. He just kept getting them where they're supposed to be.
I like jump school.
Yeah.
Now that I'm looking back on it, it wasn't fun at the time.
Now that you look back on it.
It wasn't fun at the time. I went in July, so, you know, the gig pit was horrible because it was all sawdust.
Oh, my gosh. And they'd get you for something, and you'd be rolling around in the sawdust, mm-hmm. which would get down in your.
It would hose you.
Oh, gosh. And then
it would hose you down and put you in a sawdust pit. Make you roll around.
And then because it was so hot, we'd be walking through showers, outdoor showers, just walking through them to cool us off.
Wow.
So. No, it's a well-run school. It's 1 week of training crammed into three.
Yeah.
So kind of like that hunting trip that you go on and you harvest an animal like 10 miles back in there. You beat yourself to death packing it out and you say, I'm never going to do this again. And then your buddy calls the next day and you go right back in.
Oh, yeah.
I got a buddy who hunts hogs and they make... Well, I mean, I've got a bunch of buddies on dogs, but they make these pinky promises. We'll not shoot one at the bottom of the canyon.
Yeah.
What happens? Whoa!
Somebody shoots
at the bottom of the canyon. They don't have a horse to pack it out, so there they are, dragging it up the canyon.
You shot a pretty nice antelope last week.
Oh, yeah. I did. That was a great hunt.
Perry.
And that was here in California, right?
California, and I fortunately we have a... You know, we do the land management stuff, and we help a few landowners out. And he was, I was blessed to get a antelope PLM tag from this landowner and try to pick out from a couple hundred antelope, you know, 25 or 30 different antelope bucks, which one wanted to go home with me. And this one just had the cool factor.
Yeah, he was wide.
19 and a half inches wide. For an antelope, that's just big. Ridiculous.
That's nuts. You know? Now, does that
score better
when they're wide?
We're talking about their horns.
Yeah.
Because antelope have horns.
Horns. They come off. They sheath off every year.
Yeah.
And, they do every year. They come off.
The sheath comes off. They just have a point there. And it grows
like a little
back.
Nub?
Yeah, and it grows back every year. But
I know that.
I did, have you know that I did brave Hillary to take this antelope.
Oh, man, you braved Hillary.
But I looked at it this way. Hillary, I don't like that name for some reason. So I said, anything to do with Hillary, I'm pushing right on through.
That's right. I saw the picture was all stormy looking and black skies.
No, it was wet. And, in fact, those gun sleeves you have right there that are on the website, the Just for Hunting website, I had one of those on my gun the whole day. I mean, it was coming down, the rain. And when I lined up, pulled off that sleeve, everything was dry underneath of it to shoot that antelope.
I got my sleeves right here. I love them. So they
bungee right on. They're just
you're lucky you showed up tonight.
Yeah, they come off really easy.
I knew it was coming.
Yeah,
no, but one of those wouldn't have.
Oh,
no.
Yeah, I need them.
And it's not just the rain. You if you're dusty on the horse, the horse you're riding, put that on inside of the scabbard, and it protects everything.
This is a deal. At justforhoney.com, how much are they?
$49.99.
Okay, cool. Okay. Man, these are fantastic.
Yeah. And it protects your firearm. Any firearm. Rain.
They're elastic to fit any firearm. Shotgun muzzle loader, rifle.
Long ones, short ones.
Yeah, they stretch.
That's so cool. I love it.
Okay, and that's just for hunting.
And they're in Mossy Oak Bottomland, our favorite.
I love it.
It's on your website, just for hunting.
Yep.
And of course, Perry is a guide, and he guides people everywhere.
And outfitter
here. We need to have. You need to set up a horse outfitting.
Well, we use a guy here local.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, he runs. I think next week he's running a couple elk guys up there in the Marble Mountains. Well, not the Marbles, the Trinities. He does it a little bit different, but
they have fires going up there.
Yeah, but
it's not in the same area.
Yeah, I don't. I think he's still open. And so he packs in and for the Marble Mountain elk hunt.
Wow.
And you can't really do that elk hunt up there without stock. I mean, you can do it around the edges, Highway 3, maybe Happy Camp or something. But if you get further than a mile off of the road and you have a 900-pound animal down.
And it's 100 degrees.
You're not going to get it all out before it spoils. So you owe it to yourself to have some stock around or just make sure you can get it out of there.
Well, you owe it to the animal that you've just harvested so nothing goes to waste there.
Hey, I want you to know I'm packing, right? I leave it on Monday morning for Canada, and it's full of bottomland. I'm going to show them Western dudes how it looks.
Oh, you'll full like of this. You saw what I was wearing on the antelope hunt, right?
Yeah.
Migrate's
a bomb, yeah. But I'm going to wear Bottomland. Migrate can be mistaken for something. You cannot mistake Bottomland for anything but Mossy Oak.
Well, absolutely. When we come back, we're going to, because Ted's going on this big horse extravaganza adventure up in Canada. And we're going to talk about his introduction to horsemanship on Tuesday. We'll be right back.
I wish politicians look out for miners. Not just miners on an island somewhere. Lord, we got folks in the street, ain't got nothing to eat, and the old beast milking welfare. Well, God, if you're 5'3" and you're 300 pounds, taxes ought not to pay for your
Authority Property Management, committed to providing service-oriented solutions to owners and landlords, offering full-time management services which covers everything from screening tenants to rent collection to final walkthrough inspections when tenants move out. Authority Property Management oversees single-family homes, apartments, condominiums, townhouses, multifamily, and commercial properties. Rental pricing, available properties, and a quick and easy to fill out application can be found online at authoritypm.com.
Hey friends, please join us at Reading Civic Auditorium for the first annual Justice Crab Feed October 21st to raise money in the fight against human trafficking in Reading and abroad.
All proceeds go directly to Hard Places Community and Justice 180, both nonprofit organizations. Tickets are available at $75 each, or you can get a table sponsorship as well. For more information, go to justicecrabfeed@gmail.com or find us on Instagram at justicecrabfeed.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Look at all those old people out here rocking to our patriotic tune.
Welcome back. A Man Up with Ted Leidy, Perry Crimmins, Carl Bott. Which one was that? What's the name of that one?
Made in America.
Toby Keith, right?
Oh, yeah. Made in America?
Yeah, that's by Toby Keith.
Oh, I've heard that before then. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not lately, though.
Well, he played Richmond, north of Richmond, yeah, off of at the bump on the Alco. Did you notice number one on the Billboard today?
Oh, yeah. And look at what Jason Aldean did.
Oh, yeah.
And then they removed him from the country music.
What?
CMT, yeah.
CMT, yeah, pulled
that. I don't care.
Is it just me, or that came and went already? Because it's like...
He just made all his money on it, thanks to CMT, and off they went.
And did it really cause The View to cancel out and go off the air?
Well, The View wasn't canceled.
Well, they're quitting or something.
They are?
They said they're taking it off the air season or something.
No, they're like the number one rated show for that's time slot.
How could that be?
For ding-a-lings?
Could that be?
Well, but then
must be a
and
week.
Then this guy
must
came
be a
in
week
with
slot.
Then this guy came in with this North Richmond, which has just turned everybody.
Is that the red haired guy with
the beard?
Yeah, that guy's awesome.
He's absolutely nobody. He shows up and boom, nails it. Good for him.
Yeah, if you listen to some of his other songs, they're all like that. But this one,
talk about America.
Yeah,
that's America right there.
Well, here's the thing: if you're not going to take care of America, if politicians aren't, Americans are going to take care of themselves. We're famous for doing that. And you're just not going to like – and I'm not talking about a civil war or gunplay, but, you know, it's going to be such a groundswell. They're just going to sweep all these people out of office. When you're paying $700 more a month
– Yeah.
A month a because month. Of inflation you were 2 years ago. Excuse me?
So here's what has to happen.
Now, you two are independently wealthy, but the rest of us
– Not true. Here's what has to happen.
That means we're paying about $1,400 a month more.
Yeah. Here's what has to happen. The truth has to come out, and people have to start hurting.
It is coming out.
We know it's coming out,
but
some people
it
takes longer to get to.
Well, you know why? It's because it's not on the talking heads and the major stories that you're spending $705 more a month than you were 2 years ago.
Yeah.
No. And they're not saying anything.
No. They're not.
Oh, well, no, they are saying inflation is down.
Oh, yeah.
0.2%. That's
the
story.
Look how strong the economy is. Well,
yeah.
Okay,
not strong at all.
Bidenomics, come on. And you know why it's that way? I talked to a guy a while back, and he said his mother lives in New York or something like that. All she does is read the New York Times.
Yeah.
So she has no idea what the real story is.
No. No. But others are just as guilty if they only watch Fox News.
This is true.
You've got to be eclectic in here. I'm getting stories from USA Today, Huffington Post, Drudge Report, Fox, Breitbart, and you can read the exact same story using the exact same facts, and it is a total opposite.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you know
spin.
What? It's the one line in the paragraph that makes the difference. And I'm going to give you this. Here is the one line that was on ABC News last night with David Muir, who, quite frankly, I like. You know, I mean, I'm sure his parents are incredibly proud of that dude. And he's, like, incredibly good-looking. And I'm sure he's filthy rich. And you know David Muir is, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
He says this. He's talking about the Republican debate, which, of course, ABC did not run. And here's what he says, in which President Trump is currently a no-show. And then, in the next news, right, that's all you got to say. That's not true. Trump's not going. Why would he go? He's already the front runner. He's got to fight it out with those people. But David Muir said Trump was a no-show. That's not true. Trump was never playing
it. He played it on a negative.
Of course. Yeah. But one line is all it took. That's what your brain will listen to. Or that's what the individual brain will listen to. He's a no-show. He's not a no-show. He's never going.
Who's the CNN guy? Chuck whatever?
Chuck Todd.
Same thing. He goes, the only person that matters wasn't there is what he said.
Yeah.
You know, is it really the only what's that say for these other eight people?
I love DeSantis. I love Vivek Rajam.
Ramaswamy.
Ramaswamy.
Yeah, I love that guy.
Yeah.
Everybody else was non-consequential. But those two, they're somebody.
Yeah.
You know, I know Nikki Haley is kind of somebody, but she's not. She
may be
I listened to her talk and she's
I think she defeated herself last night.
Yeah, she's working on a different agenda.
Maybe as vice president. Or
and
something, yeah.
And she wasn't Christie. I mean,
Christie's out. He's a nobody.
Yeah, I think he's a pilot off of the rest of the politicians, and he is a career politician.
Yeah, Asa Hutchinson, I like him, but no. And then
Pence.
Pence out completely.
Yeah, he was.
He had his time. He could have done.
He pulled the narcissist card last night.
Yeah, he did. Totally. You know, yeah. I'm the only one here.
Which,
oh, what he said was, it's not time for the rookie. What do you call Vivek Rajaswamy? It's not time for rookies. It's not the rookie show. Which was kind
of
funny.
Of course, actually, when Rajaswamy introduced himself, what's the skinny guy with big ears doing up here in the name you can't pronounce? Well,
it was Barack Obama
said almost the exact words.
That's right.
You know, he was on his.
Which song. Was a plus one for him because he was giving Barack Obama some love.
Yeah.
Right? Because this is what you said about Barack Obama.
The dude is on it. He's like, I think he's like way intelligent and versed, and obviously he's got a lot of work to do, but the way he addresses how to fix things is so off the cuff of anyone else.
Well, here's the thing
I
thought about
the poll they took right after the debate had DeSantis coming in first and Ramaswamy coming in second.
Yeah. Here's the thing. They're going to attack him because of his lack of experience, but I'm going to give him a plus one for lack of experience. Remember when we were in the Army or you're in the Marine Corps? They would put me in a battalion. I wouldn't know one thing about that battalion. Not one. It was way outside of my job, right? I mean, once you become a command sergeant major, they take away your MOS and give you a double out Zulu, MOS, which you can work anywhere. I didn't have to know anything about that battalion. I just showed up and provided leadership. I'd ask enough questions, I'd chew on some things, and I'd make a decision. That's what the president does. He does.
Exactly.
In fact, sometimes the less he knows, the less baggage he carries, the better off he is.
The further away from the flagpole you get, the less you're going to be in contact with your Marines. In other words, when you're a second lieutenant or sergeant, you know the company grade ranks. I mean, you're there with them every day. Every time you get promoted, you get a little step behind. Now you don't have a individual Marines working for you. You'll have a battalion of Marines. It doesn't mean you can't know your companies and know your people. But you're right. Their job, a commander's job is to take in the information that he has and make a decision. Now, sometimes you've only got 85% of the information there.
That's why you have senior enlisted and other officers.
But you have to make the decision, and it's life or death a lot of times. And then you trust that the training that you've given, that you've overseen the training, and is enough for them to carry on the mission.
And sometimes the experience in a certain job specialty is a hindrance. It's not a benefit. It's a hindrance because things change.
Imagine if you or I were sitting in when Milley made the decision to do that Kabul pullout.
Yep.
And the way they did it. I would, what do you think, Colonel? I think that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard, sir. We can't do it that way.
I'm sure he heard that a lot.
Yeah, but they did it anyway.
Yeah.
And it was political pressure from the White House. But still, it was just the wrong move. Right. And not one person was relieved over that.
I'm going to tell you something. You know this is true. You get someone killed in a training accident,
boo.
You are going, and so is four or five people underneath you.
And maybe above you.
Right.
Who weren't even there.
Yeah, they have nothing to do with it.
So that was a school of infantry where that Marine got killed last week. And the company commander of that, the guy was running the exercise, maybe even the commander of the school. Who knows? Because we take that real seriously. When you lose people in training, it's one thing to lose them in combat. When you lose them in training, you've got to go back to square one. What went wrong?
And you're fired, and they're fired, and he's fired, and everybody loses their career over it. But you kill
13.
13 for sure. You know,
how many Afghans,
how many got killed, and then nobody gets fired? It's a problem.
Nobody
it's
gets called out even.
Problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a real problem.
It's a cover up.
Okay. So I'm going to, we got to end the show tonight.
Wait a minute.
What's the last thing we want to do?
We want to talk about the horsemanship school.
Okay.
Quit horsing around.
On this trip Ted's taken, it's all horseback. Well, what Ted knows is he knows about horses because he watches the Kentucky Derby every year.
Don't forget about when I was five and the dude brought the horse to my yard and let me take a picture on it.
Well, this is what happens.
I know that.
This is what happens is, we go in and I say, okay, we're going to put the halter on her, and we're in the stall with her. And with me, she just drops her head down and she can put it on. And then Ted reaches in there.
Oh, she wasn't into that at all.
1,200 pounds of a big horse head comes up and starts looking at him through the side.
Yeah,
she's like, getting him on the side there.
Absolutely.
She's moving. So I said, okay,
it's nuts.
Come here. And so we got him out, and then You got to pick hooves.
I got to pick hooves. I got to brush. I got to saddle. I got to put the halter on. I got I got to tie all sorts of knots.
All sorts of knots.
Oh yeah. When I was done that horse loved me.
But then when we did the first ride, okay, it was kind of a tough ride, and Ted came off. And he got his foot hung up in the stirrup. It is going up and down, and he's screaming for help. And I run up there, and I unplug it from the wall. that little horse riding machine.
It was the Holly and Hartnell.